Just a reminder, today's conference is being recorded.
Hi, Jason Yabama, Chief and Creator PT Wealth, and once again we're going to an interview of, I guess, one of our what we consider top level students, and not only that, just a real inspiration to anybody who's sitting there and really thinking, is it challenging or hard to make personal training into a, you know, I guess a real profitable business. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Adam McKenzie onto the call. Hey. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, Jess. How are you, mate?
Excellent. Look, thanks for taking the time to speak with us today. I've had the privilege of, I guess, knowing you over the course of the last 12 months on a close relationship in terms of working with you one-on-one. But what I really wanted to do is get your story across to others who may be in the industry, been in it for some time, maybe struggling, wondering if they should stick it out, or people that are getting into the industry and wondering, you know, what things to avoid and what things to do. So,
I guess, yeah, for sure.
First off, just like to, mate, could you tell everyone a bit about yourself? So, you know, where you're from, you know, where you work out of, why you got into the industry, that kind of thing?
Yeah, yep. Look, been in the industry for 14 years now, down in Melbourne for pretty much most of it. My background was coming from a professional rugby union background for 3 years, and then went to uni, tried to work out what the hell I wanted to do, became really good at drinking dollar beers and dollar drinks on the Gold Coast, put on about 30 kg in a year when I couldn't play rugby anymore, and then, yeah, got to a bit of a dark place, tried to work out, you know, what things I was most passionate about, and exercise, sports, fitness has always been something that, you know, I felt gelled best with me and my type of personality, so, you know, got into the fitness industry. How I got in there is another story for another time. But yeah, look, ever since then, I haven't looked back. I've pretty much done almost every part of the fitness industry, from sales desk to gym instructor to running health clubs to managing gyms to starting gyms to running outdoor group training businesses, boot camps, corporates, online, pretty much most things now. In terms of where I'm at the moment, I have a studio in Melbourne that's been going for 2 years. A year of that, I've been working with Jace. We're about 3.5 to 4 weeks away from opening our second location. So, yeah, things have been going well. But, yeah, in terms of, you know, the things that I enjoy most about the industry would have to be, you know, dealing with people on a day-to-day basis, being able to add value to, you know, other people's lives, being able to, you know, to be in an industry where, you know, we actually do, you know, make things better, and, you know, the amount of effort that I put in, you know, is, you know, relative to what I get back in my life. So I enjoy being the master of my own domain and, you know, the only one responsible for either making things work or not. So that's me in a nutshell. I got 3 kids, and, yeah, besides that, I pretty much, that's me.
Awesome. It's a great snapshot, and I love that statement about making your, you know, your own domain. Like, it's really up to you, I guess, to the results you get. I can relate to that.
Yep.
Mate, you've been in the industry for a long time, and you know, from what you rattled off, you've done a number of different roles within the industry itself, and no doubt seen the development of it and the growth of it. But you know, you're currently in your studio now and looking to open your second one up. You know, can you share with us some of, you know, I guess, your learning experiences or some of the challenges that you've had to overcome, you know, from when you first started?
Yeah,
you know,
to get to this point. In the studio, or you mean just in general?
Well, maybe just with the studio to start with, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, the biggest things with the studio in the beginning is obviously, and anyone who's tried to open a studio will probably tell you why, you know, a lot of them fail. It's just the capital outlay in the beginning, you know. Unless you start off with a lot of capital, a lot of access to capital, it's really hard, one, to generate that on your own, being self-employed. It's also really hard to, you know, manage your finances from the point of view of, look, you know, you're starting this business, and most trainers who get into it were similar to me. You got a good client base, you got a, you know, good retention rate. You think, yep, next step for me is, you know, to start my own place. But, you know, you don't have a team yet, you don't have new people, you got to decide on your business model, you don't really know who your client is, except the clients that you've got, you know, what sort of people you're marketing to. You probably don't know a lot about marketing. So suddenly you start this business with a whole lot of expenses, but not really anything else. So, you know, the biggest challenges for us especially look up until probably, you know, the last 3 months, to be honest, has been just coping with the cash flow. You know, in the first year, it was just trying to deal with deciding what type of a business model we wanted to be. So, you know, did we want to be a gym? Did we want to be a studio? Did we want to look after lots of people at a cheap rate? Did we want to look after a few people for a higher rate? You know, what sort of packages were we putting together? Were we charging enough? Yeah, systems, team, everything in the beginning is a challenge because everything is new. And I think until you really hone in on having the systems in place, until you really decide who your clientele is, you know, what type of people do you actually want to be working with, and, you know, get some extreme defined detail in working that out, you know, down to, you know, what are they wearing, who do they talk to, where do they hang out, you know, what goes on in their mind. I don't think you'll ever really be able to be truly successful without knowing that.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's like you said, it's probably not the business itself, the reason why they fail. It's probably the lack of planning, education and knowledge before going into one. That's the real issue.
Yeah, yep, definitely.
So one of my favourite questions is, you know, I ask myself and, you know, like in other people, is the benefit of if you could go back and, you know, do it all over again, what things would you do differently?
Yep.
If any.
There'd be a shitload of things. Sorry, I don't know if I can swear on this.
Go for it.
But, you know, it's actually interesting now that we're getting to the point of opening up our second location, because all the knowledge that we've gained over the last 2 years in terms of what mistakes, what things have worked well, what things haven't worked well, you know, I'm a lot clearer with moving forward now. And you know, like literally from deciding when we were going to do it to do it, it's only been like 3 weeks, and then we're going to be opening another 3 weeks. So from conception to design to planning to systems to opening, it's probably going to be able to be pulled off in 8 weeks. You know, it took me almost 13 months to do it previously.
Yeah.
So I think the main things that I would do and what we are going to do different is overheads. Just keep them down as low as we can. Like, we're going to be able to open this next place with probably 50 grand.
Yeah.
You know, compared to almost 300 grand when I opened this place. You know, I'm very clear on the type of clientele we have. The marketing strategies are very clear. They're already in place, ready to roll out. In terms of doing a launch, it's already there because we know what's been working for us and what type of people that we are marketing to. So in terms of wasting, you know, thousands of dollars on crappy flyers and we too marketing shit, we don't have to do that now. In terms of the team, I sort of have got a lot better idea now in working out what type of trainers that we want to have on board and what type of a culture that we want to make sure we can maintain moving into the new business. So those are the important things that we're making sure we're doing. The things that I'm very aware of not making mistakes again is just, you know, overcapitalizing, making sure that, you know, do we really need that now?
Yeah.
And one of the things I've learned off you especially is, you know, do we need it now or can we grow organically? You know, can we get what we need now, get in profit? You know, can the business actually afford to do it now? And if not, cool, set it as a goal. What does it mean in terms of numbers? And then when are we going to get it by and then do it then? Rather than, you know, the old story of, yep, we need it all now, but if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. So
yeah, it's a very good advice because by the sounds of it, and I'm sure plenty of people can relate. No, I can. It's doesn't take much talent to spend money.
Yeah, yep, definitely.
But planning and really, you know, making sure you've got some stats and figures and some kind of system process. Because I think you're even doing a pre-sale, aren't you?
Like, yeah, we're doing the whole launch campaign, like a fight. Like normally we'd do like a 12-week launch campaign, and we're going to pull it off in 5 weeks. So. But that helps because we've already got material and stuff that, you know, we can roll out straight away. But it also helps because we're just so much clearer on it.
Yeah.
You know, so if anything, I would say that, you know, if you have the opportunity to do this, you know, the clearer you can be about, more about who you want to be working with and, you know, being a bit smarter about the dollars and what the dollars mean in terms of how many people do I need, what does the average dollar sale need to be with each one of those people, how much money then can I spend on marketing equals, you know, how much do I need in my bottom line? You know, and if you had a clearer picture of that moving into it, then you'll make more informed decisions rather than I'm just going to open this place and everyone's just going to come.
Yeah. Yeah, stats don't lie, that's for sure.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And being on top of that shit is you know, important.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, you definitely had your challenges, I know that, and, you know, you talk about, you know, being clear on your model and all the rest of it. You actually, you know, had started your gym or your facility up with one particular model and then actually did a whole revamp and changed the model itself. And, you know, my experience of you is, you know, like, you're very driven, very motivated, and, you know, you'll make happen, which is the key to success, I think, people that just take action. And can you tell us a little bit about what that process was like? Because I know you totally changed the whole model around.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it was different. I'm not the type of person that tends to do one thing at a time, which I'm learning. But, you know, at the time, we'd been open for a year. I was still running two outdoor group training businesses, like separate franchises at the same time. So I was all over the shop. I had to close one down. I was able to sell the other one. You know, then we were sort of sitting. It had been, you know, 12 months, and looking at the figures, we were losing consistently between 10 to 20 grand a month.
That's huge.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, I sold my house. I had to put all that money into the business just to keep it afloat. Because, look, I knew it was always what I wanted to do, and it wasn't ever because of lack of effort. It was more lack of direction, you know, and not knowing what we wanted to be. And we were a gym. We had cheap gym memberships that were doing some PT, and nothing was on direct debit. Everything was on us trying to sell PT packs. So 1 month you'd make, you know, 20, 30 grand because you had an increase of people buying PT packs. And then the next, you know, month or 6 weeks, you suddenly had no income because you're waiting for people to use those sessions before you sell them again. So, you know, two major things we did. We decided that we're not going to be a gym at all anymore. And the only way that somebody could have a gym membership with us is they're either doing one of our packages, which included, you know, personal training and a boot camp, or they were a PT client and we gave them access to the gym.
Yep.
And, you know, we literally went from, I think in total now, we've gone from 150 gym members to 7.
Yep.
You know, and some of those people, they didn't just go, they just upgraded to other services because they wanted to stay with us. And others just went and, look, we're happy with that. We got enough competition in terms of gyms in the local area, big players, so, you know, I was happy to let go of them and start searching for a higher-end client that we know is going to get better results. So that was one of the big changes. And, you know, since then, you know, we haven't really looked back in terms of the type of people that we work with. The other major thing was in October last year, we pretty much put our prices up on everything and we changed everything to direct debit. So no more PT packs. Anyone who does personal training with us, they do it on direct debit, but if they do it on direct debit, then they get a gym membership for free. So that was working really well. Then I got to the point where, you know, we were, you know, doing 100 plus sessions a week, and, you know, I was looking at, you know, needing to get, you know, another 3 or 4 trainers on to do that. And, you know, I started looking at the business model. I went to the States to a couple of conferences and then got back and just thought, why do I want to have 10, 15 trainers on all doing, you know, between 20 to 40 sessions a week?
Yeah.
And my margin's going to be between $15 to $30 a session, you know, before I even take out GST and tax. So the other thing that we changed then was we changed all of our personal training sessions, or at least 80 to 90% at the moment, to what we call specialized personal training groups. So between 4 to 6 people in the one group. And what it meant for our clients is that they went from getting a half-hour PT session for anywhere from, you know, $45 to $35 to being able to train for an hour as long as they were happy working with another 2 to 4 other people.
Mm.
So, yeah, those have been the major changes. And obviously with that change, it's literally turned the business around because the trainers are getting paid more. My margins are massive now. You know, in an hour slot, we can earn anywhere from, as a business, anywhere from 120 to 180 bucks an hour. That's after I've paid the trainers. And the clients are loving it.
From 35 or 45.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. You know, trainers are loving it because they're not working any longer hours, but now suddenly they're able to service more clients. The groups are fun. People are enjoying it. Our referrals went up. The trainers are earning more money in less time. So it's been a win-win-win for everyone. So
quite a journey. You know, you sold your house. You know, you've had all these changes. You know, what I love about you is your ability to back yourself. You know, so I mean, obviously there were some big decisions to make, But was that, is that what it boiled down to, that, you know, you just backed yourself with it? What was your thinking? Because I'm sure people hearing that going, shit, I don't know if I'd, you know, I don't know if I'd be cool selling a house, or, you know, it sounds like it could be a pretty scary situation.
Yeah, I mean, and look, it was, you know, like last year, November, I had to sit down with the accountant and think, okay, cool, with the structure I've got at the moment, what do I do if I go bankrupt? Who do I owe? Can I work? How can I work? Who do I have to pay back? What's going to happen to lease? How many years am I going to be affected by? So, you know, there were some pretty scary conversations going on there. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, for me, it's always come down to, I've always believed that I can do it, and that I'm a big believer in failing forward.
Yeah.
You know, I'd much rather fail forward than trip up going backwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thinking, well, somewhere in this is going to be a lesson. I'd already been having some lessons along the way.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, well, fuck, if it doesn't work this time, it doesn't work this time. I'll take out of it what I can, and I'll go into the next thing. But luckily, you know, as we've been going along, and I've been able to have some help too, you know, in terms of clients and everyone sticking with us, and a good team being able to stick with us through harder times, you know, we're getting to the outside of that. Now we're getting to the point where, you know, we're consistently in profit and we're looking at new ventures. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it comes down to your own personal level of discomfort. you know, if you can't cope when it gets really, really hard, then you probably never will cope when it gets really, really hard. Whereas for me, I don't thrive in that period, but I don't get afraid at that point.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, this is, if it was easy, everyone would do it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's one of the things I always live by, and I think, you know, at this point now, the pressure is the highest, stress is highest, I'm not sleeping, unhealthy, highly stressed, losing more hair than, you know, I'd normally like to lose. but at the end of the day, you know, I know that if you hang in there, then you're either going to get a great lesson to take out of it, or, you know, it'll turn around. And for us, it's been both, so...
Yeah, I mean, you hear that and you go, I don't know how can I be signing up for all that stuff. You know, lack of sleep, all the rest of it. But, I mean, the part that I really got from that is that you're right. If you kept doing what you were doing, it was probably only a matter of time before the door shut anyway.
Exactly.
But you took the chance. You saw the opportunity and thought, well, if I'm going to do it, it'll fail on my terms, which means you've tried everything. You've given it 100% go, and that's what I really admire about yourself, you know, among other things, is that, you know, you will not die wondering, you know, you will not be sitting there on your deathbed going, I really didn't give it a crack.
Exactly. Yeah, look, yeah, I don't work that way. It's not worth it.
Yeah. And as you know, it's a big part of what we teach is that, you know, like you said, you know, it's not for everybody. Some people want to cruise through life and be comfortable and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and never really, you know what they're capable of. And others, I guess, such as yourself, you know, will definitely grow and develop. And that's really the only way you can do it, is by putting yourself out there. So,
yeah, well, that's exactly right. I mean, at the end of the day, what's the worst that can happen? You know, and I think once you get okay with that in your mind, you know, like, shit, I'm going to go bankrupt. I'm going to lose that. That's what's going to happen. That's the worst that can happen. Am I going to be able to live? Is my family still going to be okay? Will I still wake up the next day? Yes, I will.
Yeah.
Well, you know, then have a crack.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm the same as you. For me, if I was going to wake up in a caravan tomorrow because I had to go and, you know, I missed the mark this time, just as long as my wife and, you know, kids and that were with me, I would be okay because I know I'd just go and have another crack. But... You know, being forced to be in a caravan because I didn't do anything, I didn't take action, that would bother me more.
Exactly right, exactly. And that's the same for me. If I didn't do everything I thought I could do, that would kill me way more. And look, at the end of the day, if one thing didn't work, sometimes it's not a matter of that you weren't on the right track. It was just, you know, that wasn't right, or your timing was wrong, or you didn't quite pull it off, or that marketing piece was great, but the wording wasn't right, or the headline, or the copy, or... whatever else it is, it doesn't mean give up and don't try it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what I see from other trainers that I work with all the time, is they'll try one approach, they either didn't like the response that they got from the client, or they didn't get a massive response, so they'll never go back and try it again.
Yeah.
You know, same with marketing. You want to go talk to 3 or 4 businesses, you get a bad response the first couple of times, you never go out and do it again.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, and look, I think the good thing for me, from my point of view as well, is, you know, being able to have guys like you who have been in the industry for a while that, you know, shit's hitting the fan. If I call you up and have a chat to you, you understand, you know, what's going on. You understand the pressures. You understand the practicality of it. You understand the systems. And, you know, there's no emotion from it. So it's like, cool, you'll take whatever I need to say, and then you'll just give me some good feedback and shit to use, which is, you know, you need that when you're your own business owner and you don't want to bring that home to your wife and your family and you can't talk to your staff about it. You know, who do you talk to about
it?
You know, how do you process that and then move forward with no emotion attached to it?
Yeah. Yeah, support's such a big part of it. That's for sure. I guess that's why, you know, clients have trainers.
Exactly.
But look, you know, in the short period of time that, you know, I guess you could say, no, you feel like a long time, but a short time in terms of the results you have got, you know, have gotten, things have turned around. Like, so you did say that you were about 20 grand going backwards each month, and that's not the case now. I mean, can you give us a bit of a snapshot roughly about, you know, what's it like for you now?
Income-wise?
Yeah, I know. Yep. You're still moving forward with it all, but I mean, to go from 20,000 in debt, which most people would love to have that, well, be making that, whereabouts are you now?
My favourite stat at the moment, which I love because now that you've turned me into a bit of a stat nerd, is that last year, October, from direct debits, and the only people that we had in direct debits before we changed everybody over, or worked on changing people over, was we were making $1,700 a month off direct debits.
Yep.
And as of the end of August, we just put through $35,000 in direct debit.
That's awesome. That's per month.
That's per month. So that doesn't include anything that we've put through FPOS. That doesn't include anything that's come through direct transfer. It doesn't include anything that was paid on PayPal for us through some of the programs we ran this month. And that doesn't include any of the income that we made from boot camp, because we made another $6,000 from boot camp for the month as well.
Wow.
And then another $2,000 from the kids boot camp. So
it's talking like month, a 40 grand odd month.
It was, yeah, I think it was a $42,000 or $44,000 a month.
That's outstanding. So what a turnaround in that short time. And, you know, I guess all the things you just talked about, your persistence, dedication, commitment, there are the things. Would you contribute to that being the case? Or do you have a main theory or that's enabled you to get those results?
Look, I think there's a couple of things. I think if you put, like, I set a goal for myself this year, and I read it every morning. I get up in the morning, it's on my mirror. And I say that, you know, it's my chief aim for this year is that I will add as much value to as many people as I can, you know, in as short a period as I can. So, you know, I've lived my whole year this way. You know, I'll build as many great relationships as I can to add as much value as I can to as many people as I can. That's pretty much how it goes. And, you know, since I've just literally, you know, read that every day and approach my day with that, so that I take the time with a client, I find out a little bit more about them, I build a relationship with somebody else outside here, like a business who, you know, you talk to them on a relationship level, but on a business relationship level, you know, how are things for you? How are you going with that? You know, suddenly then they're sending us clients. I think for me, if I think of the one thing that's helped is that, and then just not being afraid to make changes. You know, if something's not working, look at it, assess it from a number and a stats point of view.
Yeah, and change it.
And then change it. You know, and don't be afraid. And like I said, just keep failing forward. You know, have I fucked up this year? Yeah, number of times. Am I bothered by it? No. You know, and for me, in terms of the business, just, you know, I think getting more involved, you know, I tried to start this business in the beginning and, you know, my whole idea was leverage and get out of it and everything else. And that's still my idea, you know, freedom-wise. But until you're in the nitty-gritty, until you know exactly what you need to get out of every type of role within your business and what performance level they should be working at, what information do you need to get from that, and then process that information consistently, you can't make informed choices on the best ways to move forward and what to do. So, look, I think sticking to my guns, I think, you know, aiming to add more value to people, and as a business, you know, the culture that we have here is just awesome. You know, I love coming here, and my clients love coming here because it's comfortable, it's fun, it's friendly. They know that they're going to walk in here and people are going to take care of them straight away.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and that's getting around. Like, we're having a lot of people that call us now who are training at other places and constantly like, we've just been told we just need to go see you guys. You know, and to me, that just gives me a big buzz, because I know that we're doing all the things that we've been trying to do for ages, and I know we're on the right track. So, yeah, I think that those would be the biggest things.
It's fantastic, and I love that about that, adding the value, because like a lot of times we can get caught up in about wanting to make the money, and hey, that's great, that's all part of it, but like what I love is about, okay, what are you going to do in return for that money, how are you going to add value? And I think if that's your primal focus, then like you said, now you've got all that word of mouth, people talking about you, because you spend so much energy and time making sure that you are providing that value to people. So then the reward, obviously, for that is the money side of it, which comes, but also the personal enjoyment you get out of it, that you're making such a difference out there. So that's fantastic.
Cool. No, yeah, I agree. And it's funny now, like, I look at the income now, but I'm almost... it's not like things are, income's good, but obviously I've got a crap load of debt to pay back now.
Absolutely.
After all the losses. So it's great. It's not like I'm taking my foot off the pedal and relaxing, but
when
I look at the income now and I look at it all, I try and keep my emotion out of it. And it's obviously a lot harder to do that when shit's about to hit the fan and you don't know whether you're going to have enough money to pay wages or pay that or anything else every month. So it's still stressful, and it's good now because the pain of that is so strong that I never, ever want to go back there again.
Yeah.
So the decisions that I make now moving forward, they're not fear-based, but they're like, I've been in a place where most people would bail, and I didn't. I feel proud of that, but I also never want to go back there. I never want to go back to feeling that way. I'm highly motivated to keep moving forward with it all, but when I look at the figures and I look at money now, I'm looking at it as figures and money, and... with the added value thing, the better we get at that, the better we do business, and the better, the more time I spend on creating new ways to do that for our clients, the more clients we get back in return. So, that's why I found that as a core focus has been the most successful thing for us.
It's why I really wanted, to interview you, because of your story, there's so many people out there that have been in that position, especially in our industry anyway, maybe in other industries. But, what I really wanted to encapsulate the people is that, if you think you're challenged or you're a bit tough or whatever, then, there's always a story. There's always, someone out there to say, hey, it's okay to fail, and it's also okay to pursue and keep moving forward and not give up on your dreams. And, that's really the message I hope that people are taking away from hearing your story at the moment. And the other part is that, on the stats and figures, I couldn't agree more. And, it can say overwhelming for people to look at the facts and figures and all the rest of it. But as you've been talking about, as we've discovered, that unless you actually know exactly what's going on in your business, you can't make informed decisions or choices about if you're heading in the right direction. And I guess it's a bit like you wouldn't write someone a personal training program, not monitoring their food or what they're lifting to see if they're, if they're actually making progress or not. So I'm not sure about your take on that, but...
Yeah, no, I would agree, definitely. And that was half the problem, is I was making a whole lot of decisions in the beginning with, all the emotion attached to feeling like shit, not having enough money, what am I going to do about that, how am I going to do that, and then I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to be around it, I was relying on other staff to do it when I really hadn't found out exactly what should be happening in that role and what information we need from it, and what's the best way to do that. It's hard to be everywhere at once, and when you've got a lot of stress and emotion attached to it and you don't have a good support network around you, who can help you look at the bigger picture, it's really hard to move forward with any sort of informed decision.
Mm.
And I think, my wife doesn't work, so for me, there's no fallback. But having a support network like you guys, having a support network like the group, the mastermind group, when we get together, and have a chat about how everyone's going and seeing that, people are struggling with the same things, that all adds value and that all, helps us sort of, get on and keep moving forward with it all as well.
Well, any last bits of advice? I guess you've covered, quite a lot already. Is there anything else that that you'd want to pass on to anybody maybe listening to this, and in terms of they're in limbo or they're struggling, and they want to move their business forward? Any advice that you could give them?
Look, I think if you're depending on where you're at, if you're just a single trainer or if you're somebody dealing with boot camps and everything else, like, if you're on your own and you don't have a business partner or you don't have somebody who can help you look at the bigger picture that's not attached emotionally to your business, you got to have a look at that, and think, well, is that the right thing to do for my business? And realistically, I think the answer is no. You know, unless you're like nailing it and you're happy with where you are, but if you are, then you're probably not listening to this. But, you know, I think to have somebody who can be there to give you perspective, to give you strategies, to give you, you know, different things to try, and they're only doing that because they know these are all things that work and they're proven strategies that have worked either for, you know, one person or 10 people, depending. You know, I think you can't put a dollar value on that, and you can't really, if you want your business to be a big success and you want to move forward, you can't do it without that, because you're too close to things. And as much as you think you can see the answer, often you can't. And, you know, it's not until probably that I've had moments where I've gone away from the business, either through holiday or through a conference or through catching up with Jace or through doing something, where suddenly you go, you know what? Yeah, I've been too close to that. I never even saw that strategy. I never looked at it that way, or I was too emotional. I never thought that people would pay that much money, or I never thought we were worth that, or we could do that. And I think until you either have that sort of help or you take the time to move away from your business and do that, then it is really hard to get some clarity. And, you know, I always believe that clarity is power, and the clearer you are, the easier it is to move forward and, you know, achieve what you want.
Mate, couldn't have said it better myself. That's fantastic. Look, mate, I want to thank you for your time today. You know, I know you're, you know, as busy as the rest of us, and so I really value and respect that time. I want to say personally, for my and you know, working with people such as yourself and having the pleasure and opportunity to work with you has been inspiring, and actually it excites me and drives me in terms of what I do and the difference I'm trying to make out there as well. So to have some part to play in that and see you progress through has been an absolute honour. So, mate, for my at my end, thank you very much for that opportunity.
No problem, Jess. Thank you, buddy. It's been good. It's been fun.
Looking forward to that relationship continuing, and, mate, enjoy the rest of your day, and thanks very much for your time once again.
No problem, Jess. Thanks, mate.
See ya.
Bye.